In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Michael means who is like God. Some have seen St. Michael in the apparition to Joshua, as he is presented grasping a naked sword, just as St. Michael is represented. He said to Joshua, "I am a prince of the army of Yahweh. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." When the prophet Daniel had a vision and was left as dead, he says, "But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to my assistance. I have left him confronting the kings of Persia. It is to tell you what is written in the book of truth. I must go back to fight the prince of Persia. When I have overcome him, the prince of Javan will come next. In all this, there is no one to lend me support except Michael, your prince." At that time, Michael will arise, the great prince, defender of your people. That will be a time of great distress, unparalleled since nations first came into existence. In the New Testament, it is said in the letter of St. Jude the Apostle, "Not even the archangel Michael, when he was engaged in argument with the devil about the corpse of Moses, dared to denounce him in the language of abuse. All he said was, 'May the Lord rebuke you.'" But above all, it is in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, where his mission as the prince of the angelic armies clearly appears in his fight against the devil and his demons. And now war broke out in heaven when Michael with his angels attacked the dragon. The dragon fought back with his angels, but they were defeated and driven out of heaven. The great dragon, the primeval serpent, known as the devil or Satan, who had led all the world astray, was hurled down to the earth, and his angels were hurled down with him. "Then I heard a voice shout from heaven, 'Salvation and power and empire forever have been won by our God, and all authority for his Christ, now that the accuser, who accused our brothers day and night before our God, has been brought down. They have triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word to which they bore witness, because even in the face of death they did not cling to life.'" Saint Michael the Archangel is considered the special patron of the people of Israel, as stated in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. He has also been named special patron of the Catholic Church, the new people of God of the New Testament. Likewise, he is considered the patron of judges and those who exercise justice, since he is represented with the scale or balance in his hand. In addition, as the prince of the heavenly armies in the fight against evil and against the devil, he is considered the patron of soldiers and policemen. He has also been chosen as a patron by paratroopers and radiologists and all those who heal by means of radium, like radiotherapy, for example. But he is especially powerful against Satan. Because of this, exorcists invoke him as a powerful defender. Let's look at a historical case on which the movie The Exorcist was based and which occurred in Washington in the Hospital of St. Alexius in 1949. The boy, not a girl, of about 10 years old, was the son of a Lutheran family, who went to the Catholic Church seeking help. The Jesuit father James Hughes and another priest who helped him exorcised him several times until the devil was expelled. The boy was released and lived for many years as a normal person who even got married and started a family. The exorcist priests also lived many more years, and the devil did not take revenge on them because God did not allow it. In reality, there were not as many spectacular phenomena together as they appear in the film. Few know it how it really happened. The demon, through the child's voice, said, "I will not leave until a certain word is spoken, but the child will never say it." The exorcism continued, and suddenly the boy spoke in a clearly authoritative and dignified voice. The boy said, "I am Saint Michael, and I command you, Satan, to leave the body in the name of Dominus," meaning our Lord, in Latin, "right now." Then, a sound similar to a great detonation was heard, which was heard by many people in the Hospital of St. Alexius, where the exorcisms were carried out, and the possessed boy was freed forever. The boy did not remember anything, but he did remember a vision of St. Michael the Archangel fighting against Satan. Curiously, that same day and at the same time the demon came out, that same vision was seen in the Church of San Francisco Javier by several Jesuit priests, who claimed to have suddenly seen an intense light that illuminated the main altar and the vault of the altar, and in which Saint Michael was seen fighting with Satan. That is how that battle in the body of the possessed ended happily, with the victory of God through Saint Michael the Archangel. In case of diabolical possession, one must turn to the Virgin Mary, praying the Holy Rosary, using holy water, the crucifix, and other blessed objects, but also invoking Saint Michael. In the ritual of exorcisms, it is said, Archangel Saint Michael, Prince of the Heavenly Army, defend us in the fight against the evil spirits in heaven. Come to the aid of men, whom God created in His image and likeness, and rescued at great cost from the tyranny of the devil. The Church venerates you as her guardian and patron. The Lord entrusted to you the souls of the redeemed to place them in eternal happiness. Pray to the God of peace to crush Satan under our feet, so that he can never again hold men captive and harm the Church. Present our supplications to the Most High, so that quickly the mercy of the Lord will go before us and reduce to slavery the enemy, the ancient serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and once bound, send him to the abyss, so that he will not seduce any more the people. Listen, Lord, to the plea of Saint Michael the Archangel, and of all the angels who serve you. God of power, repel the force of the devil. God of truth and forgiveness, keep away the deceitful snares of him. God of freedom and grace, untie the bonds of evil. It is well known that before the Second Vatican Council, the prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel was said at the end of each Mass. This prayer had its origin in a vision of Pope Leo XIII in the year 1884. He saw the devil defying God, telling him that he could destroy the Church and lead the world to hell if he was given 100 years to do so. The Pope understood that if the demon failed to fulfill his purpose, he would suffer a humiliating defeat. And he saw the Archangel Saint Michael, who appeared to fight against Satan and his people in union with the good angels. After this vision, Pope Leo XIII locked himself in his room and wrote the prayer to Saint Michael, and commanded that it be prayed at every Mass as a retaining wall against evil. Unfortunately, this prayer was suppressed with the liturgical reforms, but it would be very good for each Christian to say it, at least in private, to ask for the protection of the Holy Archangel in difficult moments of life. The original prayer goes like this. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us from the enemy, and be our help against the snares and tricks of the devil. We beg you that the Lord command you. And to you, Prince of the Heavenly Militias, with the power received from God, throw Satan into the depths of hell, and also the other unclean spirits that roam the world, seeking the perdition of souls. Amen. William Wagner says, I know a psychologist who works in the apostolate of drug addicts and prostitutes on the streets of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Satanism is widespread among these young people, as many carry his name or image on their shirts. In general, they wear it because they believe that the devil is a being with power. She tells them that Saint Michael the Archangel is much more powerful because he expelled him from heaven, and she offers them a Saint Michael medal. They receive it with gratitude and begin to invoke him and receive his protection. Since the time of Jesus, the Hebrews believed that Saint Michael was the angel commissioned by God to take care of water sources that have healing effects. In tradition, he is considered to be the angel who led the people of Israel through the desert and made them cross the Red Sea. He was also the one who caused the water to flow from the rock that Moses touched with his staff in order to quench the thirst of the people. In the Gospel of St. John, chapter 5, it is spoken of the angel that moved the waters of the Pool of Bethesda, and that some believe that it was St. Michael. In 452, Attila with his army appeared at the gates of Rome, ready to conquer it with blood and fire. Pope Saint Leo I consecrated Rome to Saint Michael the Archangel, and then went out to meet Attila. And the miracle happened. Attila left Rome. Immediately, they built a church to the Archangel Saint Michael, which was consecrated to him on September 29th, and since then, that is the day of the Feast of Saint Michael the Archangel. After the Second Vatican Council, the Feast of the Archangels Saint Gabriel, March 25th, and St. Raphael, October 24th, was also added. The veneration of St. Michael was very widespread in Egypt. It is known that in the 4th century there was a temple dedicated to him. The Church of Alexandria placed under its protection the Nile River, on which the country's wealth depended. his feast was celebrated on June 12th, a period in which the river began to rise. In Constantinople, there was a church dedicated to St. Michael, built by the Emperor Constantine. His name was Michaelion, and the archangel was believed to have appeared there and worked miracles. It has been said, "All those who had great pains or had incurable diseases came to the temple to pray and were soon freed from their pains." The Byzantine emperors built several temples to St. Michael, considered the protector of the empire. In and around Constantinople, there were about 16 shrines dedicated to the archangel. The fact that St. Eusebius of Vercelli tells in his Ecclesiastical History is known, where he reports that Constantine had a vision in Gaul. He saw a cross with the phrase "in hoc signo, vinces," meaning, "with this sign, you will conquer." As a result of this vision, he had a banner prepared with the cross, and St. Michael led him to victory. It seems that this vision was true, as it seems totally implausible that he would have imagined something so unpopular in a mostly pagan army back then. The year 313 gave the official recognition of Christianity throughout the empire. During the pontificate of St. Gregory the Great, also known as Pope St. Gregory I, in the year 590, a terrible plague was causing a horrible slaughter among the population of Rome. The Pope ordered a penitential procession to be made from the Basilica of St. Mary Major. The Pope himself carried a statue of the Virgin Mary during the procession. When they reached the bridge over the Tiber River, they heard the songs of angels, and suddenly, over Hadrian's Castle, which today is called Castle Sant'Angelo, the Archangel St. Michael appeared. In his hand, he carried a sword. At that moment, the plague ceased. St. Joan of Arc, between the years 1412 and 1431, St. Michael the Archangel appeared to her on various occasions, asking her to take up arms to defend her country. At age 13, she began to hear the voice of the Archangel. In the process that they put her through, she affirmed that the first appearance was of St. Michael. She says, "I saw it with my eyes. He was not alone. He was in the company of angels from heaven." The archangel's voice taught her to behave well and to attend church. St. Michael was soon joined by the visit of St. Catherine of Siena and St. Margaret. She was also told that she would be taken prisoner. She was burned alive at age 19. The process of it took place in 1455 at the wish of King Charles VIII and Pope Calixtus III. St. Francis of Paola, between the year 1456 and the year 1508, had a lot of devotion to St. Michael the Archangel, who appeared to him in a vision and inspired him with the motto of his Order of Minims that he had founded. The motto was Caritas, meaning love. St. Alphonsus Liguori, founder of the Redemptorists, was so devoted to St. Michael that in each room of the Episcopal Curia, he had placed a painting of St. Michael and wanted his religious to renew their vows every year on the feast of St. Michael the Archangel. In 1733, when St. Gerard Majella was 7 years old, one day, while attending Mass, he approached the altar to receive communion, but the priest refused it because he was still a child, and at that time, they only received communion at 12 years old. The little boy was sad. At night, the Archangel St. Michael appeared to him and gave him communion. St. Paul of the Cross, who lived from 1694 to 1775, founder of the Passionists, was a great devotee of the Archangel St. Michael and named him as one of the main patrons of his congregation. Blessed Rosa Maria Benedetta Gattorno Custo, who lived from 1831 to 1900, a great Italian mystic, says that St. Michael was her protective angel. She says, "While I was praying, I saw my archangel, St. Michael, with the drawn sword in the act of defending me. He comforted me and disappeared. I was full of strength and vigor and would have faced 1,000 armies. One day, I entrusted myself to my guardian angel, and even more, to the one who gave me my Jesus, St. Michael the Archangel. I saw a group of fiery demons rushing over each other. The archangel, St. Michael, killed them with his sword, but only the act of this killing was included, since he did not actually touch them. After midnight, they set fire to the door of the house. I jumped out of bed towards the window, and while I was putting on the veil, I felt that they suggested to me how I should do it, and St. Michael said to me, 'I'm with you, stay calm.'" Another day, I went to communion because I was very ill in this month of March, 1875. I was very upset, but as soon as I received him in communion, I saw him by my side. The Archangel St. Michael, together with me, gave thanks, and with folded hands, he worshipped God. How much I suffered on my trip to Rome, I do not know how to express it. Such was the rage of the infernal spirits that only my Archangel St. Michael could hold them back. My Archangel St. Michael threw them out with his sword drawn. They went far away, and I didn't see or hear them anymore. St. Pio of Pietrelcina, who lived from 1885 to 1968, was very devoted to St. Michael. For this reason, St. Michael the Archangel appeared to him on August 5, 1918. He says, "I saw myself before a mysterious character with a very long, well-sharpened spear, from which fire seemed to come out of the tip." In the third secret of Fatima, Lucia says, "We have seen on the left side of Our Lady, a little higher, an angel with a sword of fire in his left hand. Many clearly identify him with St. Michael the Archangel." Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, who lived from 1771 to 1824, tells in her Revelations, "I have seen the Church of St. Peter in Rome. Above it shone the Archangel St. Michael, dressed in red, holding a large combat flag in his hands. The land was an immense battlefield. The greens and blues fought against the whites. These, on which was a fiery sword, seemed as if they were going to succumb. The Archangel descended and approached the white ones. I saw it in front of everyone. They charged with great courage, without knowing where it came from. The Archangel defeated the enemies, who fled in all directions. The flaming sword, which was on the targets, disappeared. In the middle of the fight, the people of the white ones increased. Groups of adversaries passed, joined them, and once a large number passed to them. On the battlefield, there were in space legions of saints who made signs with their hands, different from each other, but animated by the same spirit." St. Faustina Kowalska, who lived from 1905 to 1938, tells us in her diary, "On St. Michael's Day, I saw this great guide next to me, who said these words to me, 'The Lord recommended that I take special care of you. You should know that you are hated by evil, but do not fear. Who is like God?' And he disappeared. However, I feel his presence and his help." During the First World War, there is a well-documented fact. In Mons, Belgium, many angels appeared to the soldiers on the battlefield. The Allies were about to suffer a terrible defeat and were able to win the battle. British soldiers claimed to have seen St. George, martyr and patron of England, and described him as having blonde hair and golden armor, riding a white horse. The French soldiers claimed that it was the Archangel St. Michael, riding on a white horse. After the war, the Germans provided their vision of history. The cavalrymen claimed that their horses suddenly refused to pursue the enemy. And they said that the Allied positions, which they attacked, were defended by thousands of men, when in reality there were only two regiments. Some nuns said, "In our community, great devotion is professed to angels, especially to St. Michael the Archangel, to whom the miraculous assistance is attributed during the French invasion of 1648. All the temples, convents, and private houses of the city were looted and stolen, except our convent. Several times they tried, but when they wanted to do it, a handsome man appeared, tall in stature, who with a sword in his hand defended the entrance door." The nuns believed that it was a French officer, but when they wanted to look for him to thank him, no one was found. For this reason, it was believed that he had been the Archangel St. Michael, patron of the community, from whom we have received many distinguished benefits. Today we have the image of him in prominent places in the house. We also have devotion to our guardian angels and the holy angel of the city. During the Korean War, an extraordinary event took place. An American soldier named Michael palpably experienced the help of his saint, to whom he was very devoted. One winter day, he took a tour with his patrol. At a certain point, he got away from his companions and saw a new soldier, to whom he said, "I don't know you. I thought I knew everyone in my company. I'm new, just arrived. My name is Michael." "My name is Michael too." It was snowing and they went up a hill. Suddenly, seven communist soldiers appeared. They were about 131 feet away. On the ground, the new Michael yelled at him, but Michael had been shot in the chest. After that, the only thing he remembered was being carried by strong arms. When he was safe, he saw the new Michael beaming with glory and his face luminous like the sun, with a sword in his hand, shining with thousands of lights. Afterward, he vanished. The other companions arrived, helped him, and treated his wound. And he asked, "Where is Michael?" But there was no other Michael, and no one had seen him. However, those communist soldiers had been killed without him having shot them. Mount Gargano Sanctuary. In the middle of the 8th century, a rich man named Gargano lived in the city of Siponto, Italy, owner of a large number of sheep and cattle. One day, while the animals were grazing on the slopes of the mountain, a bull left the herd and did not return in the afternoon with the others. Gargano gathered several workers, and they all went in search of the bull. They found him on the top of the mountain, motionless, in front of the opening of a grotto. Full of anger, seeing the bull that had escaped, he took the bow and shot it with a poisoned arrow. But the arrow, reversing his direction as if rejected by the wind, turned back and struck his foot. The inhabitants of the place were disturbed by this unusual event and went to the bishop to see what they could do. The bishop ordered a 3-day fast to ask for divine discernment. After 3 days, the archangel Saint Michael appeared to him and said, "You must know that the fact that the arrow hit the same one who threw it has been done by my will. I am the archangel Saint Michael, who am always in the presence of the Lord, and I have decided to guard this place and its inhabitants, of whom I am the patron and guardian." From this vision, the inhabitants went to the mountain to pray to God and to the holy archangel Saint Michael. Another second apparition occurred during the Neapolitan War against the inhabitants of Benevento and Siponto, where Mount Gargano is. The latter asked for a truce of 3 days to pray, fast, and ask for the help of Saint Michael the Archangel. The night before the battle, Saint Michael appeared to the bishop and told him that the prayers had been heard and that he would help them in the fight. Thus it was they won the battle, and later they went to the chapel of Saint Michael in gratitude. There they found male footprints strongly imprinted on the stone next to a small door. Thus they understood that Saint Michael had wanted to leave a sign of his presence. The third apparition happened when the Sipontines wanted to consecrate the little church on Mount Gargano. They did 3 days of fasting and prayer. The last night, Saint Michael the Archangel appeared to the Bishop of Siponto and said, "It is not for you to consecrate this church that I have built and consecrated. You must enter and frequent this place to pray. Tomorrow, during the celebration of Mass, the people will receive communion as usual, and I myself will show how I have consecrated this place." The next day, they saw in the church, built in a natural grotto, a large opening with a long gallery that led to the northern gate, where there were the human footprints carved in stone. And then a bigger church appeared. To enter it, you had to climb a few steps, but inside it could fit about 500 people. This church was irregular, the walls were uneven, and the height as well. There was an altar, and water fell into the temple from a rock, drop by drop, sweet and crystalline, which is currently collected with a crystal glass and is used to cure diseases. Many sick people have been cured with this miraculous water, especially on the feast day of Saint Michael the Archangel, when many people from neighboring regions come. Tradition places these three apparitions in the years 490, 492, and 493. The first around 490, the second around 492, and the third when the sanctuary was already a recognized pilgrimage center several years later. And there is a fourth apparition in the year 1656, when the Spanish dominated the area and there was a terrible epidemic plague. The Bishop of Manfredonia, ancient Siponto, ordered 3 days of fasting and invited everyone to pray to Saint Michael the Archangel. On September 22nd of that year, Saint Michael the Archangel appeared to the bishop and told him that wherever there was a stone from the sanctuary with a cross and the name of Saint Michael, they would get rid of the plague. The bishop began to distribute blessed stones, and all those who received them were freed from contagion. Currently, in the Città di Monte San Angelo Square, there is a statue with the Latin inscription, "To the Prince of Angels, Winner of the Plague." It is worth mentioning that in the year 1022, the German Emperor Henry II, who after his death was proclaimed a saint, spent a whole night in the chapel of Saint Michael of Gargano in prayer and had the vision of many angels who accompanied Saint Michael to celebrate the divine office. St. Michael gave to everyone to kiss the book of the Holy Gospel. For this reason, there is a tradition that says that the chapel of St. Michael is during the day for men and at night for angels. In the sanctuary, there is a large marble image of St. Michael the Archangel from the year 1507, the work of the artist Andrea Cantucci. This shrine of the Gargano is the most famous of all those dedicated to St. Michael. In times of the Crusades, before leaving for the Holy Land, many soldiers and authorities went to ask for the protection of St. Michael. Many kings, popes, and saints also visited this basilica, called Heavenly because it was consecrated by St. Michael the Archangel himself, and because at night the angels celebrated their worship of God there. Among the kings who visited this holy place were Henry II of Castile, Otto I or Otto the Great, and Otto II, called the Red, from Germany, Adolf Frederick of Sweden, and Charles I of Anjou, Alfonso of Aragon, and Ferdinand II of Aragon, Sigismund III Vasa of Poland, Ferdinand I of Leon, Ferdinand II of Aragon, Victor Emmanuel III of Italy, Umberto I of Italy, and other heads of government and ministers of state of Italy. Among the popes we find Pope St. Gelasius I, Pope St. Leo IX, Pope Blessed Urban II, Pope St. Celestine V, Pope Alexander III, Pope Blessed Gregory X, Pope St. John XXIII when he was a cardinal, and Pope St. John Paul II. Among the saints are St. Anselm of Canterbury, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, St. Matilda, also known as St. Matilda of Ringelheim, St. Bridget of Kildare or Bridget of Ireland, St. Francis of Assisi, St. Alphonsus Liguori, and St. Padre Pio of Pietralcina, and of course thousands and thousands of pilgrims who visit this celestial basilica every year. The construction of the current Gothic Basilica began in 1274. Mont Saint-Michel Abbey. The second most important sanctuary in the world dedicated to St. Michael is that of Mont Saint-Michel Abbey, located on an island off the coast of Normandy, France. The tradition says that on October 9, 708, St. Michael appeared to St. Aubert, Bishop of Avranches, in Normandy, asking him to build a shrine in his honor on an island not far from the coast. The sanctuary was inaugurated on October 16, 709. A short time later, many sick people were healed, and thus it became very famous. During the Middle Ages, it was, together with Santiago de Compostela and Rome, one of the most visited places in the West. The original church was enlarged and enlarged over the centuries. The French kings, up to Charlemagne or Charles the Great, dedicated their reign to St. Michael the Archangel. During the French Revolution, it was converted into a prison, but today it is a pilgrimage center. Every year, about 3 million people visit it. In 1912, the French bishops renewed the consecration of the country to St. Michael the Archangel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.